My sisters don't like the Epiphany because, see, there's a tradition in northern Italy where I grew up. We call this La Befana, the day of La Befana. Befana is an elderly woman, ugly, a benevolent witch, if you wish, that brings gifts to children. So children receive gifts with La Befana on the Epiphany. And so we send, myself and my brother, we send our sisters, you know, Happy Befana Day, implying they are the old witch. So they always resent this. Thought that this was my personal feast. When I was a child, I kept hearing the word incense in Italian is incenso, which is very close to my name. So when I got to church and I heard incenso, I said, oh, that's me. There are many traditions to celebrate Epiphany. As I mentioned, La Befana in northern Italy. In many countries, this is called Los Tres Reyes, the Three Kings. And children receive presents from the Three Kings. I think in Puerto Rico is this way. And in other countries, there's in Spain, for example, there's the tradition of La Rosca, which is a special cake that is baked for the Epiphany with a small figurine of baby Jesus hidden inside a dough. So when the cake is cut, whoever gets the slice of the cake with the little figurine receives presents, gifts. And I believe he's in charge also of organizing then the feast of the presentation of Jesus to the temple on Candlemas, February 2nd. Many traditions, they all have something in common. It's an exchange of gifts. And truly, Epiphany is a celebration when we acknowledge and exchange gifts. We receive a gift from God, the incarnation of His Son, and we, in turn, offer Him our worship, our devotion. You might think that this is very similar to Christmas. For many centuries, Christmas and Epiphany were almost the same celebration. There is a different emphasis right now. Christmas is when we celebrate the fact that God became man, the incarnation, incarne. God took on our flesh. At the Epiphany, we see this child, this Jesus of Nazareth, and we acknowledge that he is the manifestation, the Epiphany, the revelation of God. In him, we see God. In the ancient church, the Epiphany was divided in 3 days. There was the visit of the Magi, but there was also the baptism of the Lord and the wedding at Cana in Galilee. Why? Because at the baptism, when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan, the skies opened and a voice was heard saying, "This Son, in whom I am well pleased." A revelation, a manifestation of who Jesus is, the beloved Son. In the same way, at Cana in Galilee, Jesus transformed water into wine. And the Gospel of John ends by saying, "Thus he revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him." Once again, it's Jesus coming out, if you wish, revealing who he is. The Magi also are the ones who visit Jesus, pay him homage because they acknowledge him as the King of the Jews, the manifestation of God. Let's talk a moment about these Magi. Who were they? Well, the Gospel of Matthew says very little about them. They were not kings. That's not what the Gospel says. The Gospel doesn't even say that there were three. The only reason why we assume there were three is because they brought three gifts. But in many other traditions, for example, in the Syrian church, they are considered to be 12. The Gospel of Matthew doesn't say how many they were. They were not kings. They were magoi. That's the original Greek word, magoi, which could mean many things. Magi were, at that time, priests of a different religion, Zoroastrianism. a religion that placed great importance in the interpretation of the skies, the stars, the movement of the stars. They were certainly very well educated people. They were the scientists of the time. And that's why, to me, it's so important to reflect upon them, because you know what? This is also a characteristic of our society. We place great emphasis on science. Well, their science, their knowledge, their study brought them to embark on a journey. Reason, intelligence, leads us to search for God. If science is honest, it will always point toward a transcendent reason, a transcendent creator. And we don't know what they saw. They saw something and they got on their feet. They started journeying, looking for God, looking for the newborn king. But they couldn't find it alone. Reason by itself will not lead us to God. It will point us in the right direction. But they needed help. When they got to Jerusalem, they needed Holy Scripture to tell them where the newborn king was. How sad that those who had Holy Scripture, the high priests, the scribes, Herod, the whole of Jerusalem, though they had the knowledge, they did not have the courage to get for the newborn king. When they received Holy Scripture, see, faith and reason embraced, they were overjoyed. Actually, the literal translation of the original Gospel of Matthew is they overjoyed with exceeding joy. It's really almost an exaggeration on the part of St. Matthew, but to say how happy they were. And that's also very important in our journey of faith. Reason will point toward a search for God. Revelation, Scripture, will give us the details of where to find the Lord. And once we embrace that, we find joy. The Pope Francis insists all the time on the joy of the gospel. The joy will lead us to the Lord. They found him, they knelt in adoration. A journey of faith, all to give ourselves to the Lord. And they offered their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Three very strange gifts for a baby. But as you know, tradition has it that these gifts represent Jesus' humanity, his divinity, and his sacrifice. They gave him gold. He is king. Gold is a gift worthy of kings. They gave him frankincense that is burned on the altars, a gift for the divinity of Jesus Christ. And they gave him myrrh. Now, myrrh is like a mixture of resins and oils, a perfume that is used for burials, to embalm corpses. Now, that's not a gift you bring to a baby shower. It would be insulting if it were not prophetic. But that gift points already to who this child will be. He will be the Lamb of God, sacrificed. He will die to save us. Another very important aspect of this feast is the fact that these magi were foreigners. They were pagans. As the first reading from the book of Isaiah, and even the second reading, St. Paul to the Galatians, and the responsorial psalm point out, every nation on earth will adore God. Testament. But as soon as God becomes one of us, the prophecies of the nations gathering in Jerusalem, walking by the light, of Jerusalem, kings coming to bring their tributes, all of this becomes reality. And that's why Paul says, this is the mystery that was hidden and now has been revealed, that even Gentiles, even pagans, are co-heirs, members of the same body. So this indeed is our feast. The Feast of the Epiphany is the celebration of the Catholicity of the Kingdom of God, that everyone is welcome. Nobody is excluded. And as I say, to us, these ideas are pretty normal. But in the first century, it was unheard of. The people of Israel was the chosen people. They were not a missionary religion. They were not trying to reach others. But as soon as God is revealed, all nations are invited to adore him. So it is, as I say, the feast of the Catholicity of the Church, of the universality of the faith. Everyone is invited to do what the Magi did, the same journey of faith. Use your reason, whatever you see that points toward God, follow that instinct. Go search for the Lord. You will not be able to find it on your own. You will need help. You will need revelation, Holy Scripture. But once you are able, with your mind, with your intelligence, with your reason, and at the light of revelation, once you're able to find him, you will be overjoyed. And you will be drawn into adoration and to give, to offer your gifts, your devotion, your worship. At the beginning of this new year, this feast of the Epiphany, which, by the way, concludes, well, tomorrow with Monday with the celebration of the baptism of the Lord, the Epiphany concludes, really, the Christmas season. But it's a perfect inauguration of a journey of faith in the new year. So I wish that all of us may imitate the Magi, that we may follow the star, that we may dream big, that we may be explorers, so to speak, of the faith. You know, in 1969, then Pope Paul VI gave a private audience to the crew of Apollo 11 and their wives. And he gave them a ceramic statue of the three wise men. The crew of Apollo 11, had expanded the horizon of humanity. In the same way, the Magi expanded the horizon of the faith, including all the nations, and encouraging each one of us to be like them, to go searching for God and bring him what we have and who we are. Amen.